CBS system of laboratory protection presents Rudy Valley with John Barrymore and our most honored guest, Lionel Barrymore.
I'll give you a smile for a smile, a song for a song for a while. I'll give you a heart for a moment sublime, right from the start. We'll have a grand time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rudy Valley welcoming you to another SEAL test program. In our many pleasant weeks in the air, we have presented a great many radio firsts. But tonight tops them all. Tonight, for the first time before our radio microphone, the talented brothers John Barrymore and Lionel Barrymore come face to face. Happens when Barrymore meets Barrymore. Yes. If you want some brilliant acting for most any kind of part,
just call on Lionel and John.
To make you laugh and make you cry or stir your very heart,
just call on Lionel and John.
If you're looking for a profile that'll make you swoon, or a flowery speech romantic neath the mellow yellow moon, or if you prefer a villain who forecloses prompt at noon,
just call on Lionel and John.
If you want a bit of Shakespeare that is delicate and rare,
just call on Lionel and John.
If you want the old professor who advises Doc Kildare,
just call on Lionel and John.
For a vivid, vicious viper, or the meekest little lamb, be it tragedy or comedy, these brothers score a slam. So if you dote on things artistic or a healthy slice of ham,
just call my little John.
Yes, gentlemen, this is indeed a pleasure, having two such famous brothers on our show. John Barrymore, the great profile, and Lionel Barrymore, Lionel, they call your brother the great profile. What do they call you?
Nearest responsible relative who owns property.
Now look here, me perky parsimonious playmate. Playmate. You sputter like an outboard motor.
I wouldn't talk, Lionel. Your acting consists of...
Now see here, Kildare. Now you see here, Brother John.
Gentlemen, remember that you're gentlemen.
Yes, you're partly right.
Yes. Besides,
Lionel, you shouldn't chastise your bonny baby brother.
Baby brother. Well, at your age, you couldn't be baby brother to a California redwood.
You know, that's something I've always wondered about. Lionel, are you older than John?
I used to be, but he caught up and passed me.
I'll wager you could tell us a lot about John's childhood.
First or second?
Suppose we take them in chronological order. Yes, let us go back to the days of John and Lionel's babyhood. Back.
Whoa, you've backed up far enough.
Lead us on to the nursery, Papa Rudy Barrymore.
Ah, good evening, my dear. Good evening. How are my two little, what are those little pink things again?
You mean babies?
Oh, yes, that's what I mean. How are my two little bouncing...
Baby.
Thank you. Rover and Tom, isn't it?
Oh, no, that's our dog and cat. Our baby's names are Lionel and John. Don't you remember? We named John after John Quincy Adams.
Oh, yes, shortly after. Oh, I say, do you mind if I take a look at what do you call those things again?
Babies.
Thank you.
Aren't they cute?
Yes, they are. But, I say...
What?
Aren't they a bit young to have their faces powdered?
Faces, he says.
I think
I'll amuse them a bit. Kitchy-kitchy-coo, kitchy-kitchy-coo. This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home.
Lionel, if he tickles my foot once more, he's going to get that other little piggy right in the profile.
Lionel, say da-da. Lionel, say goo-goo. Lionel, say gaga.
Goo-goo. Gaga. Gaga.
For this, I had to rush over from MGM.
Leaving Rudy and the baby's Barrymore, let me ask you a question. Do you like cottage cheese that's creamy, rich in flavor with tender, fluffy curds? Cottage cheese that's fresh as a new minted dime every time you buy it? Well, then try Kraft cottage cheese. It's rich with cream, wonderfully light and delicate, and fresh. You see, Kraft makes this good-eating cottage cheese fresh every day under seal test supervision. And Kraft adds pure, sweet cream to every batch of the fluffy curds. Just enough cream to make the cottage cheese nice and moist, but never runny. Then, to make sure you get Kraft cottage cheese at the peak of its goodness, Kraft seals it in paper cups right at the plant and rushes it direct to food dealers and refrigerated trucks. These Kraft cups stay sealed until you remove the lids in your own kitchen. So you know you're getting fresh cottage cheese of uniform Kraft quality. And ladies, food authorities say that cottage cheese is one of the finest foods you can serve the family. It's a reliable source of milk protein, for instance, and of the milk minerals calcium and phosphorus. So let them enjoy Kraft cottage cheese often. And now, back to Hollywood.
Having enjoyed the rare privilege of eavesdropping into the childhood of the Barrymore brothers, let us now turn back the clock to their school days. Is there a grandfather's clock in the house?
How true, Bud.
Children, children. Jonathan, Lionel, hurry. Always late, those two, always late. Good morning, pupils.
Good morning, Mr. Pips.
Squeak!
Now sit down, children. I shall read you a merry, merry story to start off this happy, happy morning.
That practically ruins the morning.
Quiet, Johnny. Now, once upon a time, there was a little red hen. The little red hen found some wheat. Aha, cried the little red hen. Who will help me plant the wheat? Not I, said Ducky Lucky. Not I, said Turkey Lurkey. Not I, said Skunky Wunky. Boys, boys, are you listening?
Not I, said Johnny Wanny.
Not I, said Lionel Wynel. That's just a lot of hooey-fooey.
Why, good gracious to Betsy. Children, now let us all rise and sing our class song.
Oh, teacher dear, we learned a new song.
Oh, how nice, Johnny. I'd like to hear it.
That's what you think.
Wait, first let me give you the pitch. Now that's the pitch.
Sounds like a foul ball.
Never you mind. Please sing me your song.
Come on, fellas.
We brush our teeth and comb our hair, teacher dear. We brush our faces everywhere, teacher dear. We brush our teeth and comb our hair for Mademoiselle from Armandier. Inky, dinky, polly, poo.
Lionel, I can see that you two are quite a pair of young rascals. I'll bet John was a terror when he got a little older, say around 16 or 17.
Oh, on the contrary, Rudy. During his teens, John was a very bashful young man. Would you believe it?
No, I wouldn't.
But he really was. Why, I remember the night of his 16th birthday. I just caught John and given him his bar.
16 years old and you had to catch him to give him a bath?
Oh, we still do. let's skip that, Rudy.
Very well. What was the next important event in the career of the Barrymore Frères?
Well, skipping quickly over some terrible thespian endeavors, we headed for Broadway, Rudy. Of course, little old New York was quite different when we first hit the town. Remember the horse cars and the Bowery, Rudy?
Well, no, but my granny told me about them. But here's what I do remember.
The Bowery, the Bowery.
They say such things, they do such things.
On the Bowery, the Bowery. I'll never go there anymore.
She's my sweetheart. I'm her beau. She's my Annie. I'm her Joe. Soon we'll marry. Never to part. Little Annie Rooney is my sweetheart.
Daisy, Daisy,
give me your answer, do.
I'm half crazy,
all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you look sweet, your great big feet on a bicycle built for two, the end.
And so it was that the Barrymore brothers, heeding the call of the stage, arrived on Broadway. John was the first to get a job. Broadway first heard his glorious dramatic voice
when he said those never-to-be-forgotten words.
Extra paper! Read all about it! Brutus killed Caesar! Read all about it! Extra!
Lionel, however, had better luck. Like his illustrious forebears, he landed within the hallowed walls of a great Broadway theater. All New York society had turned out. As on his opening night, young Lionel Barrymore was heard to say,
bonbons, peppermints, lemonade.
those were the great days, Rudy. Did John ever tell you how nervous we were the first night our play really opened on Broadway?
No, but I heard how nervous you were the night it closed.
Well, same thing.
Same night.
Well, we finally decided to team up and do a vaudeville act. Rudy, you should have seen us in those days. Going from small-time agent to smaller-time agent.
Good morrow, my good agent.
Yes, good morrow. This is your lucky day.
I doubt it. And who are you?
I'm Lionel.
I'm John.
We're Barrymore and
Barrymore. No act can carry more. So buy us, don't carry more.
Hello, hello, hello.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Here's your hats and there's the door. That's all there is.
There is no more.
Wait, Valley, you can't throw us out like this. We're great. We're colossal.
We're destitute.
Well, I could use a couple of comics. Are you comics?
Are we comics?
Tell them, brother.
Yes, we're Barrymore and Barrymore. Funny gags and witty patter. We don't make sense and it doesn't matter. Say, John.
What is it, Lionel?
Where do all the bugs go in the wintertime?
I don't know, Lionel. Where do all the bugs go in the wintertime?
You can search me.
Well, Valley, as a taxidermist said to the eagle, how do you like our stuff?
Gentlemen, as the wife said to the henpecked husband as she pointed to the rug, beat it. Crime marches on. Then after many triumphs on stage and screen, came the crowning achievement of John Barrymore's career. He joined the Rudy Valley program. Then on the fateful night of October 17th, 1940, while John made his radio debut, Brother Lionel sat tensely at his one tube crystal set, listening. I'm Rudy the cutie, the crooning patootie, the vagabond lover from Maine.
I am Barrymore, J. Barrymore. I'm John, the great
profile.
John, how could you have done this to me?
John, you've left me all forlorn. The sheep's in the meadow, and you're in the corn.
Evening, John.
Evening, Lionel. Gadzooks, I'm exhausted. 12 hours in the same studio with that Rudy Valley.
John, remember, we weren't to mention that name in this house.
But it's a living, brother.
Lack of money is no excuse for loss of dignity. You're a Barrymore. You have background and tradition. You seem to forget how much the Barrymores owe to the public.
You seem to forget.
You're way ahead of me.
You seem to forget how much the Barrymores owe.
Now, look here, Stinky.
Stinky? Don't forget I'm John Barrymore, the clown prince of the American South Park.
You may be the crown prince of the American theater, but you're still Stinky to me.
Ah, you're just jealous. Jealous that I'm on the Rudy Valley program and you're not.
Jealous? Why, wild horses couldn't drag me to that show. Wait. I'll tell you. Hello? Barrymore Home for Aging Profiles? Lionel speaking.
Hello, Lionel. This is Rudy Valley.
Oh, Rudy Valley, is it indeed? Well.
Say, Lionel, I called to ask you to appear on my program next week.
Me? Appear on that program of yours? I'd love to.
Shake hands with the new Stinky.
Quiet. Shall we discuss the contract now?
No. Come over to my house for dinner tomorrow night and we'll talk about it.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Now, does that take care of everything, sir?
No, Lionel. There's another matter or two I want to discuss. Very important.
What?
Well, first of all...
Deposit 5 cents for overtime, please.
Well, I guess that's everything. So long.
Before Rudy's little dinner party starts, let me give you a tip on what to do when spring fever takes some of the edge off your family's appetite. Just wake up those sleepy taste buds with a delicious, tempting dish made with Kraft cottage cheese. For Kraft cottage cheese is noted for its talent at putting new life into old menus. You see, Kraft cottage cheese is made fresh daily. Right at the plant, it is sealed in sanitary paper cups that guarantee you uniformly fine cottage cheese untouched by human hands. Kraft refrigerated trucks rush the fresh cottage cheese direct to food dealers. If you like cottage cheese with big, fluffy curds, ask for Kraft regular creamed cottage cheese. If you prefer smaller, firmer curds, try Kraft country-style cottage cheese with the old-fashioned flavor. There's Kraft chive cottage cheese, too, for your appetizers. Just make sure the name Kraft is printed on the cup. Then you'll get cottage cheese that's rich flavored and fresh every time. And now, back to Hollywood.
And so, accepting Rudy Valley's gracious invitation, the Barrymore boys arrived the following night at the Valley homestead.
Well, here we are, Lionel.
Ring the bell, John.
Say, I wonder if we've got the right house.
Good evening, boys. Good evening.
Welcome to Chez Rudy Valley, where our motto is, nothing is too good for our guests.
It's very nice of you to invite us to dinner, Rudy.
Yes, it is. Now, about the contract.
Oh, that can wait. Make yourselves at home. There's a phonograph in the den if you'd like to play some good music.
Thanks, Rudy.
How do you work it? Nothing to it. Just put a nickel in the slot. Excuse me, I'll be back in a minute.
Lionel, can you imagine that guy?
And I thought your girdle was tight.
Let's play number 7. Rudy Valley and the Musketeers singing Friendly Tavern Polka. Here's the slug, Lionel.
Music is playing, dancers are swaying, laughing away each care. Down at the friendly tavern, everyone's happy there. Lights are all twinkling, glasses are tinkling, romance is in the air. Down at the friendly tavern, nothing else can compare. Farewell, find the cheer, meet the friends you hold so dear. Round up the old quartet and sing a song together. Time to get started, gay and lighthearted, no need to ask us where. Down at the friendly tavern, everyone's happy there.
So fill up your stein, boys, we'll give the toast. And then we'll drink and down at the friendly tavern. They always buy a round. Fill up your steins, boys. We'll give a toast. And then we'll drink it down at the friendly tavern. They'll always buy a round.
Come on, music is playing, dancers are swaying, laughing away each care. Down at the friendly tavern, everyone's happy there. Oh, time to get started, gay and lighthearted, no need to ask us where.
Down at the friendly tavern, everyone's happy there.
How about dinner, boys?
Yes, but how about the contract?
Oh, don't worry about that, Lionel. I have faith in your ability, and I hope you like my terms.
That's a typical valet contract. He has faith and hope, and you get charity.
Oh, how droll, how very droll. Well, we'll discuss it at dinner. What are you going to have, the $6 dinner or the $7?
Why, what's the difference?
With the $7 dinner, you get knives and forks.
Oh, how nice. Well, what do we get with the $6 dinner?
Bicarbonate of soda.
Now, look here. How much is this dinner going to cost us?
Let's see. $7 dinner, $3 cover charge, 60 cents an hour for the ping pong table.
I don't play.
10 cents for watching. Nothing's too good for our guests.
I can't stand it. Let's get out of here. Let me out.
Calm down, John. Rudy, John isn't feeling well, and you'll have to excuse us. But I have a splendid idea. Why don't you come to our house tomorrow night as our guest?
Splendid, Lionel. How do I get to your place?
Oh, very simple, Rudy. Very simple. You just follow the ocean drive as far as Malibu Beach. There you'll see a long pier. Turn left and drive out onto the pier until you see a big gap in the railing. Then head for this gap and step on the gas.
But if I do that, I'm liable to fall into the... What?
Nothing's too good for our guests.
We have a great dramatic credence to offer for you. From Shakespeare's famous play, King Richard III, we have extracted a combination of scenes to be played by Lionel and John Barrymore. Here's the setting. The deformed Richard, Duke of Gloucester, with the wars over, loses no time in furthering his evil schemes to become king. He tells the king of an old prophecy that he should someday be deprived of his throne by a relative whose name begins with the letter G. In this foul manner, Richard secretly plots the destruction of his own brother, George. Presenting Lionel Barrymore as George, the Duke of Clarence, and John Barrymore as his brother, Richard.
Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by the sun of York. Grim visage war hath smoothed his wrinkled front, and now instead of mounting barbed steeds, he capers to the pleasing of a lute. But I, that am not shaped for sportive tricks, and am made to court an amorous looking glass, I deformed, unfinished, the dogs bark at me as I halt by them. Why, I in this weak piping time of peace have no delight to pass away the time unless to spy my shadow in the sun and descant upon mine own deformity. And therefore, since I cannot prove a lover, I am determined to prove a villain. Plots have I laid by foolish prophecies to set my brother George and King Edward in deadly hate the one against the other. Dive thoughts down to my soul. My brother come. Our brother Dave. What means God that waits upon your grace?
His majesty hath appointed this conduct to convey me to the tower.
Upon what cause, my brother, may I know?
Yea, Richard, when I know, for I protest as yet I do not. But as I can learn, King Edward hearkens after prophecies and dreams, and says a wizard told him that by G his issue disinherited should be. And for my name of George begins with G, it follows in his thoughts that I am he.
We are the king's abjects and must obey. Brother, farewell. This deep disgrace in brotherhood touches me deeper than you can imagine.
I know it pleaseth neither of us well.
Well, your imprisonment shall not be long. I will deliver you. Meantime, have patience.
I must, perforce. Farewell.
Go tread the path that thou shalt ne'er return, simple, plain George. I do love thee so that I will shortly send thy soul to heaven, if heaven will take the present at our hands.
Thus, George, without knowledge of Richard's treachery, is taken to the tower, where one day he awakens with a start from a terrible dream.
Oh, I've passed a miserable night, so full of ugly sights, of ghastly dreams. Methought I'd broken from the tower and was embarked across to Burgundy. And in my company, my brother Richard, who, from my cabin, tempted me to walk upon the hatches. Upon the giddy footing of the hatches, methought that Richard stumbled and, in falling, struck me overboard into the tumbling billows of the main. Oh, Lord, methought, what pain it is to drown. What dreadful noise of waters in mine ears. But then began the tempest to my soul. I have done those things which now bear evidence against my soul for Edward's sake, and see how he repays me. Oh, God, if my deep prayers cannot appease thee, execute thy wrath in me alone. Oh, spare my guiltless wife and my poor children. My soul is heavy, and I fain would sleep.
Thank you. Thank you, Lionel and John, for giving us this opportunity to hear the words of the immortal bard.
You're most welcome, Rudy.
I only hope the immortal bard didn't leave anybody mortally bored.
I should say not. It was thrilling. It was really great to have you with us, Lionel.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. I'm sorry to go.
Ah, Lionel. Parting is such sweet sorrow. But you must be at MGM tomorrow.
Hey, too, Rudy? Hey, good night, all.
Next Thursday, John and I shall have the great pleasure of greeting that brilliant young actor whose modesty is as winning as his talent is great, Orson Welles. Together we shall cavort through a life behind the microphones entitled Radio, Radio, Wherefore Art Thou Radio? This is Rudy Valley saying au revoir and good night.
of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, where he has just completed the starring role in The People vs. Dr. Kildare. Seal Test Incorporated and its member companies are subsidiaries of the National Dairy Products Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.